I don't deny the plausibility and the likelihood of it. What's on the other side of Battle Day?
Well, what's on the other side is not good news, and Americans are completely naive about this. They've never gone through a war where they've been attacked in any significant way other than Pearl Harbor, just one particular city. But it really is total social unrest and meltdown, and that's the great danger that we face. It's not that most people will be killed, because they won't. Only some 15 or 18 major cities are going to be get a nuclear strike. The Russians, want to kill the bully of the world. They don't want to be labeled as the bully of the world. They're going to do a nuclear surgical strike.
Then what happens to them, though, brother? What happens to them? Will we not launch on them as well?
That's a very interesting thing. Not exactly, because, you see, PDD 60, signed by President Clinton, told our military not to rely on launch on warning, meaning don't expect us to give you the codes to be able to launch when you say the Russians are launching on us. They're fully intending, and this is just the most dastardly betrayal I can describe to your people, but PDD 60 guarantees, it gives a major hint to the military that we're not going to be allowed to launch on warning. Now, what that means is the most effective thing is to launch after the Russians have launched. For example, if they empty their silos and they've got missiles heading towards us, they're targeting our missiles. So if we launch before their missiles arrive, ours are free and clear. Their missiles end up exploding over empty silos, and ours are heading for their targets and ours. So the one who launches second actually destroys the most. But if we don't give the codes to our people and don't allow them to launch on warning, that's what PDD 60 says. Don't rely on it. Prepare to retaliate after absorbing a nuclear first strike.
Well, Bill Clinton lost the codes for a while one time, didn't he?
Well, but that's suicide, you see. And so people say, well, we've still got our submarine missiles. But unbeknownst to most of the American people, under Bill Clinton, we signed an agreement with the Russians, agreeing to keep 50% of our nuclear missile submarines imported at any one time, specifically so that we could assure the Russians that we weren't offensive and that they could target half of our missiles at any one time.
So that leaves
us with half, and we continue to dismantle a lot of those submarines and turn them into conventional launching anti-terrorist missile platforms.
Gotcha.
And so what I'm saying is we have very little potential to retaliate after a first strike. It's a very dangerous scenario. But the most dangerous is the fact that it's preceded by an EMP strike, which is high-altitude nuclear weapons, three of them probably over the United States, to take out all the electrical grid and destroys most of the computers and cars and other things. Can you imagine? Nothing runs anymore.
Nor the Joint Chiefs.
No food supplies being shipped. I mean, this is utter panic.
Now, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish that thought, because I got one for you.
This is not a nice scenario. I am not going to be able to give you hope by saying this isn't going to happen. I'm telling you, our government has been covering for the Russians and Chinese for years. They will continue to do so until this strike happens, because it will justify their vaunted New World Order and integrating the U.S. into a military order that we will never control again. But that isn't to say there isn't hope. Believe me, I wrote these books not to make money, but because I knew that this was going to come. I was developing this for myself. I said, I'm not going to be a victim here. I'm going to try my best all of my life to try to reform the system, and I've dedicated my life. My World Affairs Brief tries to expose what this government is doing. It acts as an early warning for what's coming. I'm trying to help people, and I don't make a lot of money out of this thing. I mean, I'm a one-man shop. But what I'm saying is that I am interested in people surviving this, and FEMA does not intend to warn the people about these things. But sheltering in place is the answer. And it isn't. I mean, they're talking about it. Even the New York Times had a piece come out by a government shill saying, maybe we ought to do a few token shelters in case there's an Iranian missile or a North Korean missile. Nobody's talking about the real strike, which is a Russian-Chinese, really strong nuclear preemptive strike. But I'll tell you, you don't want to be just going down in a parking basement, because you have fallout, drifting across the United States. You can't stay in them. There's no food. There's no water. There's no sanitation. They're not telling the people that the simplest and cheapest way is to shelter in place. And everybody can do that in a basement, and it doesn't cost very much money. I mean, I put into my books, for example, like how to implement a high-security shelter in the home. For less than $3,000, a person can have a complete fallout shelter with filtered ventilation air, and it's concealed so that if you have pillaging someday, which will certainly happen in the aftermath of a war, that you don't have to confront people. You just simply leave your door open, leave a few things for them to steal, but you've got everything secured in a safe room with concealed entrance that they can't find you. You don't have to confront people. You don't have to shoot people who are stealing. You just keep it secret, and you get out of the way. That's the way people survived the Nazi period in Germany.
Is this about, Joel, do you think in the end this is about population control? Are there too many people? I mean, I guess my question is, what is the point? Because certainly they know that even if they get over on us, it's not going to go easy on them in what follows an event like that.
Well, I mean, unfortunately,
what's the point here?
There is going to, unfortunately, there is truth to the idea that there are these powerful beings who have these grandiose ideas about controlling the world do want to eliminate billions of people in the world, and war is one of the reasons they'll do that. And unfortunately, it's not just nuclear. They are intending to use biological and chemical weapons as well. Biological is capable of killing a lot of people. But they don't want to wipe out the entire Earth. They don't want a nuclear winter, and that's not, in fact, that's mostly propaganda, anti-nuclear propaganda. The point is, this is survivable. People can prepare, and they have to. One of the most important things is most people live in these big, high-density metropolitan areas. And one of the reasons why I wrote Strategic Relocation is, a designer of high-security retreats around the nation. Almost all my clients were living in these big cities, and I had to convince them that, sure, there's a lot of nice things in your job and things, but you don't have to live right in the middle. You can get moved to the outskirts. You can have a retreat home in a vacation area, someplace in a safer, less high-density population. And, you know, if you most of these people subscribe to my World Affairs Brief, and I am watching this thing. I am going to warn people when these things happen. And I think getting advance warnings is very important. This isn't going to happen as a complete surprise. There will be, you know, provocations like Hitler invading Poland and Russia.
Gotcha.
Hundreds of thousands of Russians in the Balkans or in the Baltic states and in Poland and other things, and they'll have agent provocateurs provoking conflict to give them an excuse to move in troops to protect their Russian residents. Those would be preludes to war. These
All
things
right.
will alert people. But, you know, if a war is 3 months away, you may not have time or the money or to relocate or to
So in other words, don't
shelter.
Wait. You need to be proactive
That's right.
about this.